Well, great to be with you, and Pastor Wes and Jan are made us so welcome. Been great. We've had a lot of fun and a lot of laughter together, and also been great to see God moving and touching so many lives. Absolutely wonderful. Great. Did you sleep all right last night? Have a great... Too high on the Holy Ghost. I love that. Praise the Lord. I was too. I couldn't get to sleep either. Oh, it's so good. Well, we've been doing a theme on sonship. Those of you watching online or watching in the small group, we want to welcome you. And I know you're going to enjoy this session. And one more tonight. And let's get onto this session right now. And I want to share in this session a message called This Present Age, A Time of Preparation. This Present Age, A Time of Preparation. Because we need to understand the hour we're in and the importance of personal preparation. So first of all, I want to talk about ages in the Bible. Some of you may not be familiar with this, and I encourage you to do your own study on it. The Bible refers to two ages, this age and the age to come. It does also refer in another place to ages to come. So I want to just look at the scripture. Jesus spoke of the two ages in Matthew 12:32. If any man speak a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. Whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. And here it is. Either in this age or the age to come. Notice two ages. He's speaking about two different periods or different ages. They're separate seasons in that sense. They're ages. The word aeon or age means a distinct period of time when God is working out a particular aspect of his plan. An age is a period of time God is working out a particular aspect of his plan. So this age, this present age, will come to an end, and there will be a transition, and then the age to come, the stage that God has laid out, will come into being. And Paul also spoke of the same thing in Ephesians 1, and verse 20, 21, he said, he's talking about what he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So notice there, Paul speaks of this age and also the age to come. So the age to come refers Revelation 20 reveals it as a 1,000-year period of time. 1,000-year period of time. It's a time when Christ will establish his reign and rule as king over the earth. It's not something that'll be spiritual and visible. It'll be tangible. It'll be physical. It'll be real. And, of course, you can understand that that's not going to take place without some upheaval. There has to be significant shifts for this to happen. In my opinion, that the whole 1,000-year period is a season of unprecedented prosperity, of change, as all nations of the earth will live under the reign of Jesus Christ. And that reign will be executed through the sons of God that he has prepared for that age. You can't rule over a kingdom on your own. You always have to work through people. Every business, if it's large, works through people. If you're going to rule over the earth, you rule through people. Therefore, you have to prepare people to share that rule. And that was always in the heart of God, that he would have sons in the image of Jesus Christ that would co-share the rule. He made man to rule the earth. He never changed the plan. Jesus Christ came as a man, has conquered and overcome as a man, but now has introduced us into an inheritance of sharing the honor and the privilege of bringing the earth into alignment with God and his kingdom. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that when Jesus has finished that work, when all enemies are subdued, then he hands the kingdom over to his Father. So there's a distinct outworking of a plan. It would be very good if you were to study in the Bible God's eternal kingdom plan, which reveals itself from one end of the Bible to the other. Sons are the people God works through to implement that plan. That's why our theme and our message and series has been on sonship. but we could equally do one on kingdom, which is also a significant theme running through the Bible. So in Zechariah 14:9, it says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth." Have we seen that yet? We've not seen that yet. You've not seen that. You've not seen the earth under the direct rulership of Jesus Christ and what that would look like. We've seen other kings. History of fighting and warfare. But the 1,000 years under the kingdom of Jesus, once the transition takes place, will be a season of peace. And there's many scriptures that tell exactly what that will be like. And in the Bible, there's many prophecies of Jesus, but there's much, much more of the coming kingdom. So if all the ones of Jesus' first coming were literal, the other ones are literal as well. Daniel 2:44, "In the days of those kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom. It'll never be destroyed. That kingdom shall not be left to another people. It shall break in pieces and consume all kingdoms, and it will stand forever." So while in history we've seen kingdoms come and go, the Bible describes, and Daniel saw it in a vision, of a kingdom which starts off like a small rock, and then it will smash all other kingdoms, all other rules, all other dominions, and fill the whole earth. We haven't seen that yet. Our role is to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, get the idea? Okay then, so these two ages, the age, the current age, and then the age to come. And in Ephesians 2, it refers to ages to come. So there may be that God has got many things in mind, but the Bible's focus is on this age, when God is outworking his plan to raise sons and daughters who will share in the age to come with him in ruling of that creation. What an honor and a privilege. So the two ages are separated by two events. Well, actually, there's many things, but I'm only going to pick out two. And first event that is a climactic shift between one age and the other is the second coming of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 24, verse 3, "As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" So they asked about three things. They asked about the temple, they asked about his coming, and they asked about the end of the age. They put together his coming with the end of the age. And in 24, verse 30, it says, "The sign of the man," Jesus is answering, "The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So notice now, the age to come will be triggered off by the coming of Jesus Christ in great power and glory. The disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration had a glimpse of it. Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter 1 about the coming kingdom and the necessity that we are diligent to ensure our placement in that kingdom. I don't want to sidetrack on it. I want to keep going on this, but I encourage you to read 2 Peter 1 because he tells us to add to our faith. In other words, don't remain an immature believer. Add means intention. Be diligent to add to your faith. And what does he talk about adding to your faith? Character qualities. He wants us to grow and mature and become Christ-like. And he says, if you don't do these things, he says, you are short-sighted even to the point of blindness because you can't see what God has got ahead. But he said, if you do these things, if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you not fruitful, unfruitful. They shall make that you never fall, and they shall guarantee an abundant entrance into the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the abundant entrance into the kingdom is contingent on our preparation. You'll get quiet when I start talking about this stuff. Because with all the hope we could just get on and it doesn't matter what happens or what I do. It does matter. It really does matter. And so that was the first one. And then accompanied with the coming of Jesus Christ as a part of this is the first resurrection from the dead. The Bible tells us in Revelation 20, it talks about what is to come. It's a prophecy of the future, has not yet been fulfilled, of a resurrection called the first resurrection. Blessed is and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. And that's at the beginning of the 1,000 years. The end of the 1,000 years, there is the general resurrection when all the dead are raised. Now, I won't go into all the details of it, but I want to show you something from here. He says in Luke 20, verse 34, then Jesus answered and said, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. So he's talking about this age. He said, but those who are counted worthy to attain to that age. Two ages he's talking about. And he said, and the resurrection of the dead. So notice now, he connects the resurrection out from the dead with that age coming. Jesus connected it. And he connected the end of the age with his coming, and he connects the end of the age or the coming of the new age, he says, with the resurrection of the dead. Those are counted worthy to that age and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. So there's a dramatic change. It says, neither can they die anymore. He says, because they are equal to the angels, they are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. That word son there is the word mature, huios, growing up, mature son, ready for inheritance. So he's referring then to two age, this age and that age, meaning the age to come. In the present age, we just carry on life and we fulfill the mandate. There's marriage and there's family. We're to populate the earth. In the age to come, we enter that age one of two ways. We either enter it with great honor and glory through resurrection. We are resurrected out from everyone else living and become a group of people whose body has been changed to become like Jesus. Remember Jesus, after his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples 40 days speaking about the kingdom. And what was he doing? He could manifest his presence. He could be physically touched. He could eat, he could drink with them, and then he could vanish. So he was in a different realm. He lived, and the Bible talks about that God is able to change our vile body and make it like his glorious body. Wow. So this is the prize that's ahead. So entrance into the coming age, into a realm of authority and reigning with Christ, requires we enter through resurrection. So you notice there it says, those counted worthy to attain that age. To account someone worthy means they're considered, after their life has been looked at, that they are entirely deserving of this honor, which suggests then very much that it's conditional. That's why we need to prepare. Paul himself in Philippians 3 wrote that I might attain to the out from resurrection, but I haven't got any guarantee that I've attained to it yet. So there's many scriptures. I don't want to sidetrack. I want to just keep sharing just this main point. There's this present age, the age of preparation. There's the coming age, or the age to come, the millennial reign of Christ. And this is the season when we prepare. Our life is a period of preparation for what God wants to do through us in the coming age. And we either prepare and qualify, or we don't prepare and we disqualify like the five foolish virgins. Okay, so now I want to look now, move on. I've got another message online called The Age to Come, which talks a bit more about it. But I want to share about this present age. And I want to share with you five characteristics of this present age. Five characteristics of this present age. And let me just go through them one at a time, five characteristics. And then I want to talk about a necessity to have faith and why it is. Okay, so first of all, this present age is called an evil age. It's not the Bible. So you can call it what you like and say how good it is, and there are many wonderful things about it. Absolutely wonderful. I think some wonderful things are happening. However, from a spiritual perspective, from God's perspective, it's called an evil age. Galatians 1:4, Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. So he's talking about this age, the present age. He calls it an evil age. And God's plan is that we be delivered from it. Okay, notice there, the word evil means to be hurtful, full of hardship, its nature is corrupt because of the spiritual governance that drives it. Get the idea? And so it's characterized by wickedness and evil and rebellion against God. And lots of good things, but he's trying to give you a spiritual perspective that the current age is not a good age. The current age is characterized by evil. It's an evil age. And notice there, we need to be delivered. What do we need to be delivered? We need to be rescued out of the hand of the spiritual power that manages and controls people during this age. You can't rescue yourself. You need a savior. You need someone to save you. God delivers us out of the power of darkness and puts us, spiritually positions us in his own kingdom and rule, it tells us in Colossians 1:13. So when we come to Christ, we are legally shifted out of the governance of one kingdom into the governance of another. But you've got to learn to live in that kingdom and operate under the kingship of Jesus and by the way it works. We live in a democracy, so we think like a democracy. We think, oh, it's about my choices and what I want. No, no, you're in a kingdom. The kingdom is always about the rule of a king. So God planted you into his kingdom. He rescued you out of another kingdom. So don't live like you're still in the other kingdom. Live like you're in the kingdom of God and that kingdom which is ultimately the one that'll come. Okay, second thing, the present age is dominated by the invisible influence of Satan. It is dominated. The prevailing influence upon the world and what's happening in the world is demonic. Don't look at the people. It's the demonic power behind it. So it tells us in Ephesians 2:1, you he has made alive, who were once dead in trespasses and sins, who once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit who now is working in the sons of disobedience. That word course is the word age. You walked according to this age. Sometimes when you read the words, you can't get the meaning unless you look at the original word. The original word there is age. They put it course, or like a race, a period of time when something happens. So it says, we walked according to this age, this present evil age. In other words, we're constantly under the influence of demonic pressure. That's why so much stuff's happening. That word world, the age of this world. The word world is the word, not the physical earth. It's the word cosmos, meaning the order or governance structures that make up society. So it's saying that our life was lived under an invisible spiritual influence and it followed the whole flow of this age. And it tries to pressure us to become light and to embrace its values. That's why you've got so much pressure all the time to adopt values which are counter to the kingdom of God. Does that make sense to you? So this world bears the stamp and character of Satan, the prince of the power of the air. Although he was legally defeated at the cross, it has not become effective in its fullness yet. In Revelations, it tells us there'll come a moment when God will give directive to an angel and the angel will just seize Satan and bind him in a pit for 1,000 years. Now, that tells us very clearly, or it tells a number of things, but one thing it tells us, there's no equal competition between these kingdoms. When it suits God, when his timing is ready, he is able to just take Satan and put him in a pit and stop his influence over all the nations. And what's one of the key reasons that the coming age is going to be a different age? Because no longer will this hidden demonic influence be there. Makes sense? A great sound, isn't it? But get this, he is there now. So you've got to learn that there's an influence and a pressure all the time. It said it energizes or constantly energizes and forces and drives people towards a destructive lifestyle. So when you look at what's happening in the earth, yes, there's people doing stuff, but demonic spirits are behind it all. Okay, so the third thing is this current spiritual age, or this age, this present age, is characterized by spiritual blindness. It's characterized by spiritual blindness. 2 Corinthians 4:3, if this gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded so they don't believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So notice there that Satan is revealed to be still the God of this age, the force behind what is happening. And it says,
he works to obstruct and hinder people coming to Jesus Christ. And that's why it says he blinds their minds. He blinds their minds. In other words, there's a spiritual influence on the mind, and that can be an ideology, just a whole way of looking at life. There's lots of ideologies in the earth right now. Currently, there's a pressure to replace the Western Judeo-Christian value system or ideology with something completely different. And the outcome will be a lifestyle that's completely different. That's called an ideology, see? Philosophies, religions, unbelief. See, his rule is called the power of darkness. Now, when you're in the dark, you can't see. So how many of you have spoken or shared the gospel with someone and it was like their head was in a cloud? They couldn't see or hear or even comprehend what you were saying. This is what this is talking about. It's a spiritual blindness. That's why if you want people to be saved, pray for them by name. Pray for them by name and pray that every influence obstructing and hindering and blinding them from seeing the truth would be bound and restricted and limited so they can have their eyes open to hear and see the truth. Okay, you know the idea? So people are blinded from seeing, they don't see the impact of sin on their life. It's quite a shock. It is a real shock. I have sat with people and when I connected their current problems with sin that they had done a long time before, they were shocked. It was literally like their eyes open up. Suddenly, I realize these problems I've got now are the result of decisions I made contrary to God earlier on. So we said, okay. Then fourth thing, the present age is characterized by hostility and resistance to the gospel. Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of what? This age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, stand. So notice there is a conflict you face as a believer. When you got born again, suddenly you become, the reality of this becomes very real. You're in a conflict. And the conflict is against not people, it's against the spirit powers that manipulate their thinking and actions. And it says very clearly that Satan is the source of this. He has constructed a hidden invisible kingdom, a hierarchy of demonic spirits that rule over nations, over territories, over families, or if you're in tribal cultures, over tribes. Really, it's true. I can remember one of the first times I saw that. I had a young Maori woman come to us and she was asking for prayer. And the Lord spoke to me, find out what her tribe is. And she told me the name of a tribe, and I immediately knew that that tribe was characterized by incredible violence and murder. And so when I prayed, not just about personal things or family things, but prayed into the tribal area, there was massive manifestation. The demon literally came up and showed itself, just like that. So these are the things. So we wrestle against this. This is what is behind the problems. You get the idea? And so the devil constantly obstructs the gospel. Sometimes in the West, it's not so obvious. We can live pretty well free to practice our faith. However, it has been all undermined through ideologies coming through the education system. But in many parts of the world, Christians daily are being murdered and slaughtered in all kinds of ways by ideologies that are demonic. It's not just another belief system. It's a demonically empowered belief system. And I began to realize it was a puzzle to me why some groups would combine with other groups when they totally believe different things. And I realized what they've got in common is they hate Christianity. So anyway, we won't go into all of those. So the devil is called many things. He's called your adversary. You have an adversary. 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary. No one's out of this. Maybe the problems you're struggling with are pressure from the spirit realm you haven't recognized yet. He's called the God of this age. So when you commit to Christ, you're introduced to another kingdom, and now this all becomes real. If you want to walk forward and grow, God requires that you actually put on the armor of God. You learn how to fight. You think, well, it doesn't seem fair. Here's the thing, if God could remove all the devil and all his demons, why did he do it? Why wait till the millennium? Why not just click fingers and get rid of them now and solve a whole lot of... No. You see, it says it's explained. See, different parts of the Bible explain it. It says if you find in I think it's in the book of Joshua, in Judges, I think it is, he said he left the enemies in the land to teach those who never knew how to fight to fight. You've got to learn how to be a fighter. You've got to learn how to stand up, become strong. In other words, fighting against something strengthens you. So there's a season now when God is preparing people, so they need something to push back on. Don't get overwhelmed by it all. Just as something for you to push back on, and He's given you the authority to do it. So push back. Don't be weak and intimidated and frightened and anything like that. Just push back in prayer. Learn how to find your authority. Step up. Get in line with Jesus and push back. And the demons go. They go out of your house. They go out of your marriage. They go out of your family. They go out of your workplace. They go out. You are learning how to be a son of God, how to exercise authority like Jesus did. Okay, so there it is. Here's another thing then. So the world primarily is in contempt and resistance to the culture of the kingdom and its values. So when you stand up and start to talk about Christian values, what the Bible said is God's order, ridicule, contempt, and derision are the normal things that follow, because it's empowered by a spirit. It's just now more visible than it used to be. Okay, so here's the next thing then. The fourth characteristic, the spirit of this age works to choke the word of God. Now, the word of God can shift your mind and thinking, can change your life. The word of God makes you strong. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that God speaks. Okay, so look at this in Matthew 13:22. Now, he that received the seed among the thorns, you know the parable of the sower and the seed? The seed is sown, the seed is the word of God, the ground is the heart, and the seed is sown in different kinds of ground. The seed has power to produce fruit. God's word has power to produce change, fruit, life, and blessing in your life. He says, now, he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And look at this. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. It becomes unfruitful. And would you believe it? That word world is the word age. The cares of this age. Cares, anxieties, worries, pressures, stresses. So the care of this age primarily is just the worry and anxieties and pressures you face living daily life. The care of this age is also a spirit that pushes you to become self-centered, ambitious, looking for recognition, looking for power, and leaves you in a place of anxiety and fear. So the spirit of this age is characterized by anxiety and fear, ambition, pressing on. I haven't got enough. It makes people dissatisfied, pressures people to conform to its values, the values of this age. So Paul warned us not to be conformed to this world or this age, its values, its structures, its ways. We're to think and live differently, distinctly. So when Christian lives and marriages and families and the way they do business is the same as the world, you're conformed to the world rather than being transformed by the word. So in the parable, he says the word was sown and was producing good things, but the person allowed cares, the desire for riches, the pressures of life, just overwhelmed, they lost their focus on the priority of the kingdom. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, in the context of fear and anxiety in this age, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will come into you. It'll be added to you. Okay, so you all got quiet on this. Yeah, right, here's the next one. So the present age, it's in conflict with the kingdom of God. It will end in judgment. The present age will end in judgment. In other words, just because God's nice and kind and it shows grace doesn't mean that there's another side to Him.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that He's not going to call people to account. Think about this. One of the primary characteristics of God is justice. He's a God who loves justice. He's called the just judge of all the earth. Now, if He loves justice, somehow He's got to get things right. People have to be called to account for their behaviors. And that's a great, great thing. If you believe that God is a just judge, you don't have to seek vengeance. You can trust God in His own way and His own time will bring everything into payday, reckoning day. So everyone gets their own at some point. So don't worry about what everyone else gets. Focus on you getting your life right. That'd be the big thing. So in Matthew 13, verse 40, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. So burning tares in the fire is a symbolic of judgment. He said, at the end of the age, there will be judgment. So this kingdom will end and be replaced by another kingdom. This age will be end and replaced by another age. And, of course, it's not going to go easily or willingly. That's right. It's not like people are going to sort of, you know, quit leading the nation. I can't imagine Jacinda just saying, well, oh, Jesus has come and let it go now. He can run it. He'd do a better job than me. It's not going to happen like that. It's not going to happen anywhere in the world. Can you imagine in China them saying, oh, Jesus, come, we better hand over now. It's not going to happen like that. So all transitions of governance that's been entrenched will be with upheaval. That's why Jesus said that there are certain signs of the end times, earthquakes, natural disasters, famines, pestilences or pandemics. There would be wars and rumors of wars. There'd be things all over the world. And he said it would be like a woman giving birth. It would come in cycles of pain that got closer and closer and more intense until it hit the climax of the manifestation of the sons of God through resurrection and the return of Jesus. Then judgment is brought upon the nations of the earth. He says he would judge the kings of the earth. So all nations will face this. There'll be massive turmoil and change. Now, I don't want to get distracted with it. I'm just trying to help you just see there's this present age. This is the time to prepare. And there's the age to come, which is an age, a glorious age, the most wonderful period of time in all of Earth's history. When what God intended through Adam is accomplished through the last Adam, Jesus Christ. When actually his original tension is finally manifested and seen in reality. And I'd love you to search the scriptures to see the conditions of the earth. It's just amazing. If you look into this, I think 1 Kings chapter 10 and the kingdom under Solomon, you get a glimpse of what it's like. But it's all through the Bible, all through the Bible. You just got to search for it. Okay, now here's the next thing that's really important. In this age, in this present evil age, which got all those characteristics, we can experience the power of the age to come. Yeah. How about that? In this present age. So I don't want you just to sit waiting for something to happen, something to come. In this age, here and now, we can taste the powers of the age to come. In Hebrews 6, verse 5, it says, we have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. So the age to come is future, but its powers can come into this present age. So when you look all through the Bible at men who brought miracles, who changed nations, who did mighty works, by faith they reached into the age to come and they brought the power of that age into this age and change the destinies of their nations. So while it may, see, here's the thing. A taste is not the same as a meal. See, so in this age, you get to taste. That means you try the flavor you become acquainted with. You eat a small portion. So what he's trying to do when he say tasted the powers of the age to come, the big meal is awaiting. But right now, you can have a taste of it. Well, I love a taste of it. When you have a taste, you want more. Have a little bit of chocolate, a taste. It never works out. You just get hungry for more. And it's true also of the things of the Spirit. The more you taste the Lord, the more you experience the Lord, the more you want of Him, the more you hunger for Him. So let's not sit back and say how bad all this present evil age is. Let's see that God is in this present age raising up people who he requires by faith to reach into the age to come, reach into the kingdom and bring its power now. Bring it now. So the kingdom age will be full of power and glory. It'll be seen all over the world. Everywhere it'll be known. But right now, the present age, we can bring aspects of it. We may not see all of it. But thank God for the bits we see. The bit I see, the taste, is enough to keep me going. I've been going all these years now.
Think about it, see? So it's available. See, think about this. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the resurrection power accompanying the age to come is here now in this age. It's already been here and transformed a man. So in other words, there's been a taste of it, but there's a whole lot more to come. Think about that, see? The defeat of Satan has already begun. At the cross, Jesus defeated him legally. Is it all been implemented? No, but it's happened. It's already happened, and then it'll come about in stages at the end. So the first stage has started. He'd been legally defeated. Think about it. It's already begun. If you can believe now, all things are possible to you. So God is saying, I've already bought and demonstrated the power of that age here in this age. Now, if you can believe, all things are possible to you. In other words, he brings our attention to faith. Faith makes things possible. We've got to be a people of faith. So think about it. So salvation is an evidence, the power of the kingdom, or the kingdom is here now. He gave himself, Galatians 1:4, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. So when you get saved, the power of the coming age is real in your life. In your spirit, you have been set free. You already got a taste of that kingdom. Now your job is to align with it. Think about it. We've been delivered out of darkness. You can see. How many know? I can see. I once was blind. Now I see. See, it's real. It's real. You've tasted something. But don't stop with the taste. Hunger for more. See, deliverance. We're in a meeting last night and deliverance. See, deliverance is evidence the kingdom is here now. Jesus taught that, Matthew 12:28. If I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, guess what? The kingdom of God is here now. So he connected deliverance, casting demons out, humiliating them, hurling them out of their place. By the power of the Spirit of God is a taste of what's to come. Oh, if that's the taste, bring on the whole thing. Oh, my goodness me. I love it all, see? Deliverance is the defeating and humiliating of demons. That's why I never do it in the back room. I like love it out in the open. I want to see that demon screaming, writhing, yelling in fear, and coming out. And there it is. Most people say, oh, that's awful. No, no, you're misreading it. It's the kingdom has arrived. A superior kingdom, a greater kingdom. Our kingdom, our king, it's arrived. And get this, if you did deliverance, he is giving you a taste of what it'll mean to share his rule. And that's why when you do deliverance, listen, I've done lots of things in ministry. There's nothing like doing deliverance. Mate, I get so pumped up. I can't sleep that night. Even our kids get pumped up when they do it. Everyone gets pumped up when they do it. When they suddenly see a demon writhe and scream and come out subdued by the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, inside, you say, I was born for this. I can remember standing in a crowd, and there were thousands. There was about 6,000 people there, and they all stood back. They all came back for a meeting, and I led them in a prayer, and the musicians built the atmosphere, and we prayed and commanded the demons to manifest and come out of people. And literally thousands got to. I remember standing there, and all around me, there's people on the floor. They're writhing. There's demons are coming out. See, demons are coming out. And I thought, my God, I was born for this. You made me for this. This is what the sons of God will do. But you don't have to wait for the kingdom. Do it now. Do it now. Taste it. Receive the encounter yourself and then pray for others. Come on. Healing and miracles are evidence the kingdom is here now. Wherever you go, heal the sick and preach. The kingdom. See, it's connected to the kingdom. And so all through the Bible, people have tasted that power and done mighty things. Oh, I long for the mighty things. You read through the Bible and see the mighty things. It's our mighty God extending his government through an ordinary person. Oh, how glorious is that? You're called to be one of those people. Think about that. It's our day to grow and be people of faith. Hebrews 6:11, we desire each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope, and don't become slackers. Don't be, there it is, sluggish, it says, meaning dull, stupid. It says, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That word sluggish there means lazy, dull, acting like illegitimate children who have no father and have no inheritance. Wow. Don't be like that. You have an inheritance. Take hold of it. Start to reach and get a taste of it now. Don't be sluggish. Be diligent. Imitate. In other words, look at men of faith and who know how to stand and endure difficulty and model your life on that. They're hard to find, but nevertheless. You've got to do it. You can always find one somewhere. Draw from them. They're not perfect. There's no one perfect but Jesus, but you can draw from imperfect people their faith and their endurance when things are hard. I like to see when people, they're in a hard place and a hard time and they honor God and by faith they get a victory. Think, oh, that's great. And that's something. I want to be like that. Hey? I want to be like that. So, we'll just finish this up now. But here's the thing. There's a story. Remember the parable in Luke 18? The parable of the widow and the unjust judge. Now, the context of it is this, is that Jesus is teaching you need to pray and not be a quitter. Pray and don't faint. Pray and don't quit. Don't give up. And he told the story about the widow who suffered great injustice. And the story is that even though the judge was unjust, she kept beating on that door and beating on that door. And he said, oh my God, she's wearing me down. I got to give her what she wants. He said, now hear what the unjust judge says. And this is what he says. God's people will cry out for justice. So one of the things, it's no use complaining and being bitter about all the injustice. It's everywhere. If you focus on injustice, you become offended and bitter. You become victim-minded. Injustice, when we see it, we should first respond by crying to our Father, who is the just judge of all the earth, who is grieved by the injustice, for justice to come. And he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So what he's saying is, will he find a people in the face of all kinds of negativity, setbacks, and injustice? Will he find a people that are praying? Will he find a people with faith in their heart? Will he find a people that have prepared themselves? That's what he's looking for. Will he find you like that? I don't know when he come back, but I do know he's commanded us to prepare, and he's looking for people who have faith. And that faith will manifest by tasting constantly the power of the age to come, like a trickle into your life, God coming and doing the things. No one really sees it too much, but God is coming. That tells you that you are part of what he is doing. He said in Matthew 24, verse 44, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you don't expect. In other words, his coming will be sudden, his coming will be unexpected. We are to prepare to make ourselves ready. And he goes on to say that the servant who made himself ready, when his master comes, he will make him ruler over all his house. Why? Because he's a son. He will put him over his goods. He will extend his kingdom through that man. But that servant that says in his heart, the Lord delays his coming. And instead, he lives a compromised life, and he treats the members of the family of God badly. The Lord will come in a time he's not expecting. You notice there, it's how you treat people. It's to do with the character of Christ being formed in you. And so God is calling us. We live in a present evil age. There's an age to come that will replace it. You are in the day of preparation. Will you prepare? Will you make yourself ready? Amen? I want to speak to those who are watching. It's been a bit longer session, but I hope you've really taken on board and received, if not all of the understanding, at least the impartation of the reality of a kingdom to come and of living by faith in this current age. God wants us to live by faith. You search the Word of God. So think about the study today and what impacted you. What did the Holy Spirit say to you? What challenge do you feel in your heart? What are those characteristics do you recognize are operating? How should you respond? And right now, what do you need to take a step of action on? And perhaps as a group, you could pray together, talk together, and pray for one another. And let's exercise faith for miracles of healing and deliverance. And if you've never received Christ, this is your moment to come out of that blindness and make a decision to receive Jesus Christ and become part of a kingdom, part of a realm, part of God's eternal plan for humanity. God bless you. Okay, well, come on, let's give the Lord a clap. Oh, I am so full of energy and life. See, the message of the kingdom does something to your spirit. It stirs you up on the inside, wanting to actually walk with God powerfully. Amen? Amen. I find that when I preach those men, I can't sleep. Two things I can't sleep over. One is deliverance. One is preaching the kingdom. Both get me so fired up, I'll sit there, like this. Wide awake, can't sleep, because the excitement and energy, the affirmation by the Spirit of God that His Word is true. Think about that. God wants to help you and stir. I want to pray today. I want to pray for people. If you need deliverance, you need to be freed from sickness or some kind of thing, this would be a great day to pray. Now, rather than me do all the praying. Yes, yeah, that's the trouble, you see. You'll want someone else to do all the praying. I will release God's anointing over the house, and then we will pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who need something. So if you need deliverance, is something troubling you right now, why don't you just stand where you are, just exactly where you are. Just stand in your seat. You need freedom from something. It could be fear, anxiety. It could be that you're struggling with being overwhelmed currently. If you don't, just stand where you are right now. If you're struggling with some kind of confusion around your life, just stand. No shame in standing. In fact, the act of standing says, I'm breaking out of being hidden and in darkness. I'm actually breaking out to bring this thing into the light, because in the light, its power can be broken. Anyone else? Just stand quickly. There we are. I've got a few people here. There you go, like that. We're going to do it in two phases. We'll pray for the sick after this, because I think there'll be quite a few people that we'll end up praying for. And here's what we're going to do. I want those of you who have faith in your heart to go and gather to that person there, and I want you to ask, what can I pray for? Now, don't tell them a long counseling thing. I don't want to hear that. Just what do you need freedom from? Just I need freedom from fear. Okay? And we're going to believe for the power of God to come in a moment. So if you'll just go to them right now and just dialogue with them, please. What do I need? What do you need freedom from? That's right. Make sure everyone's got someone. Make sure everyone's got someone. Now here's what's going to happen. I want you to listen carefully, because the power of God is released as we flow with the process. Don't start praying yet, please. Don't stop praying yet, please. Listen, this is deliverance. And one of the first steps to deliverance is to become aligned with God's kingdom. So I'm going to lead everyone through a corporate prayer. After the corporate prayer, you can lay hands and pray, and let's believe for God's power to come and deliver them right now. But the corporate prayer is an act of alignment. The Bible says, submit to God, align with Him, and then resist the devil, he'll flee. Okay, so I'd like everyone to pray, especially those who are receiving out to receive ministry. Follow me in this prayer. Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I declare Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus from every curse, every evil spirit, from the power of this age. I am delivered. I declare today my freedom in Jesus' name. I repent of any area I have been in agreement with this oppression. Today in Jesus' name, I claim freedom, and I speak to those spirits. go from my life in Jesus' name. Now, come on, let's lay hands on people and begin to pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over all witchcraft. I come against generational witchcraft, controlling spirits, spirits of witchcraft, spirits of fear, spirits of terror, spirits that come at the night to torment. I command you to go. Spirits of hatred against women. I command you to go. Spirits of rejection, shame. I command you to go. I come against defiling unclean spirits. Go in Jesus' name. Spirits of infirmity, go in Jesus' name. I break agreements with death. Spirits of death, go in Jesus' name. Go now. 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 The blood of Jesus has broken your power. The blood of Jesus has broken your power. Be loosed. 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 Thank you, Lord. Spirits of confusion, go. Spirits of confusion, go in Jesus' name. Spirits of depression, go in Jesus' name. Spirits of fear and anxiety, go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How we honor you, Jesus. Let's go over this time. Shabababa sikababa shikaladai. Ilabababa shisalabadiyatai. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Loose. Loose. Put the hand on the head. Just lay your hand on the head. That's right. That's right. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about the manifestations. Put your hand firmly on the head. Assert authority. Let's give Jesus a clap. People are being set free. God's kingdom, we are tasting. We're tasting. We're tasting. We're tasting the power of the age to come. It's a beautiful taste. The taste of freedom. 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 How glorious. I love it. I love it. Okay, come on. We're going to pray one more time. The people here are sick in your body. If you have sickness in your body, sickness in your body, once you stand right now, we're going to believe God to bring healing to you. He says, preach the gospel, heal the sick. Heal the sick, preach the kingdom. If you're sick in your body, wherever you're sick, please stand, please stand. Sick in your body, just wherever you are, please stand. Okay, can we get people to come and stand with them now? And we'll do the same thing. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. And then we're going to release the power of God and pray for people. Pray believing that they'll be healed. All things are possible to him who believes. So when you come up to the person, ask them what they're believing God for, what they need healing from. They're believing God to heal me from this. Do that. Okay, you know what it is. Don't stop praying yet. I want to lead everyone in a prayer. There's no one here to stand with Janet. Ken, could you come over here with Janet? and there's some other people standing, got no one standing with them, please come and stand next to people that need prayer for healing. Come and stand next to them and pray for them. That's the way. It doesn't matter how you feel. Like, hey, listen, just before we do this, can I just share with you something? Now listen to this. This is going to help you. It's going to encourage you. I was at a meeting in San Jose, and it was a big meeting. We teach them how to move in the Spirit, and we got to this thing about praying for the sick. So I prayed for a few sick people, and then I said, well, look, the presence of God here to heal people. So who's sick? And, of course, hundreds and hundreds stood up. Anyway, so we prayed and did whatever. Anyway, a year later, I came back, and a tall guy came up to me. This is what he said. He said, Pastor, he said, I was in that meeting last year. I gave my heart to Jesus. I said, that's wonderful. He said, no, that's not what I come to tell you about. He said, I was unsaved, and I had a terrible back pain, and I stood up for healing. And there's a little old lady stood up beside me, and she had some problem too. And so when you said, turn to one another and pray for one another, I didn't even know Jesus. She said, pray for me. He said, I put my hand on her, said, be healed. And she said, immediately she was healed. And I said, would you pray for me? She said, no, you're big enough. Pray for yourself. So I said, I prayed for myself, and Jesus healed me. Now, he said, then I came up and gave my heart to Jesus. So you got to get rid of all the thing that you got to somehow have it all right. It's not you doing the healing. It's Jesus. He just wants you to believe that when you pray, something will happen. Are you ready? Come on. Okay, then. So we've still got some people praying. That just turn around and pray for the people behind you. Are you ready? Now, here's what I want the people praying, the people who are receiving prayer. Let's all pray together this simple prayer. Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I declare Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus from every curse, every evil spirit, every sickness and infirmity. I belong to Jesus. I speak now to the sickness. I command you to go. Spirit of infirmity, go. I claim healing in Jesus' name. Now come on, begin to pray for people right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority now. I bind every spirit of infirmity. Infirmity, I command you to go. Spirits of infirmity, I command you to go. Lord, we release your healing power. We command backs be healed. We command spines to be realigned. I command hips to be healed. I command knee joints to be healed. I command arthritis to go. I command cancers to go. We curse every cancer. I command cataracts to go. I command stomach conditions be healed. I command breathing conditions be healed. I command kidneys to be healed. Lord, we release your healing power right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, amen. Yeah, right, yeah. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Create a miracle. Thank you, Lord, for creating miracles right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for creating miracles right now. We believe, oh God, nothing is impossible to him who believes. Lord, all things are possible. We thank you now for creating a miracle, for healing. Thank you, Lord, totally right now, all pain to go, healing right now. Thank you, Lord, we do release and create a miracle right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who's excited about Jesus today? Come on, let's give him a clap together. Lord, we honor you. We thank you. We bless you. We thank you for all you're doing. What a joy to taste the power of the age to come, to experience the joy of your kingdom now. Amen.
As your Lord and Savior. If that's you today, I would love to pray with you. This next prayer could very well be the most important prayer we pray today. Amen. If you haven't received Christ yet, just lift your hand. Just wave to me. You haven't. Ask the person next to you. Ask the person next to you if they know the Lord, if they've received Christ. Could you do that for me? Could you do that for me? Right, I want you all to stand again, if you would. There's some pretty excited people around here. That's absolutely fantastic. But could we stand again? And I want you to put your hands on each other's shoulders. We're going to pray together. Because there may well be somebody here or somebody online or somebody in the overflow room that doesn't know the Lord yet. And we don't want to finish this gathering before we give everybody the opportunity to experience the greatest miracle, to be forgiven of your sins, to be born into the family of God, and to begin your growth in Christ, to become a fully fledged son or daughter of God. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, right now. Pray with me, Father. We stand here today acknowledging that you are God, that you are creator of all things, and that Jesus is your Son. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son to die for me, to take away my sin, and to make me a new creation. Today, Lord, I receive you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I turn away from the sin that has been destroying my life, and I turn to you. I receive your forgiveness. Receive me as your child. Today, I've become born again, and I've become part of your family. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pray one more thing. Pray one more thing. In Jesus' name, the person on my left, the person on my right, fill them afresh today with the power of your Spirit, with the power of the Holy Ghost. Fill them to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much for being here this morning with us. Thank you, Mike, for such a wonderful teaching. Thank you so much. Made that so beautifully clear. And tonight we meet at 7 o'clock. There may still be some registrations open. I was going to say just turn up anyway, but I'm not allowed to say that online. And anyway, so God bless you. Have an awesome afternoon. And go and pull on those powers of the age to come into this world right now. Amen. God bless you.